So there's going to be a big battle for talent, and I've got some really, really bad news for you. The bad news is it's going to get worse over the next 10 years for three key reasons. You know, 10 years ago, if you look at Fortune 500 companies, we only had 10 Chinese companies there. Today, we got close to 100. Alibaba, one of the biggest IPOs, Chinese in the U.S. Look at Flipkart in India. What an amazing success story. And everyone's looking for that famous chief product officer out of the West Coast, which don't want to ever move. So that's the first one, right? The second one is really around imbalance of demographics. So you've got this two rising and growing segments. Millennials, which I don't even know how to spell that word, by the way, how many L's and N's, but young, aggressive, great ideas, but not very well seasoned, right? So where are you going to put your money on? Who are you going to take a bet on within that whole group? On the other side, you've got aging demographics. You know, if you look at both Russia and you look at India, there'll be more people by 2020 retiring than entering the workforce. But the bullseye of a great leader, seasoned, at the right time, is 35 to 44, and that's declining. So now you've got less people available for you to pick at. And the last one is pipeline. Companies are brutal at succession planning. We asked over 800 leaders a year ago, so how many are actually confident in their pipeline? 1 in 5 said, I'm comfortable. And the reason that happens is the fact that you've got so much pressure delivered today. Are you really going to think about a roadmap 2-3 years down the road? But that's the problem, is you're going to get to sort of a roadblock. So we sat down and we said, okay, there has to be a smarter way to think about attracting talent. And one of our colleagues spent a long time looking at over 20 years of academic research and studies and all the experience that we have today working with leaders like you from around the world. And we came up with a different and more probably evolved way of thinking of how to assess and spot talent. So let me take you through this era of talent spotting. Let's go back, way back, prehistoric days, right? As humans, we made our decisions on physical attributes. You wanted to build a bridge, you get the most physical person to do it. I even joke today, the average CEO is 2.5 centimeters tall, or inches taller than the average leader, right? So it's still quite an unconscious bias, but it's irrelevant. The second phase, we moved on into experience and IQ. So if you're super smart, you've got great experience, well, I'm going to hire you, the smartest accountant, and the most experienced accountants. But that's not good enough. We entered the third phase, and the third phase was around competencies. A guy called David McKellen, he basically said, experience and IQ is great, but we need to look at the skills you need for today. So let's look at a role, right? And what are the key competencies for that role? Strategic, right? Great, take commerciality, people management. You all use it, and it's very relevant today. I bet you if you go back to your HR teams today, you've got a chart that ticks those boxes, and we use it today. The problem with that model is that the world has changed big time. Think about it, right? It's ambiguous. It's volatile. It's, you know, you don't know which way it's going to go. Think about what happened with taxis, right? Disrupted by Uber, disrupted by Lyft. Think about content in media, disrupted by Facebook, disrupted by Snapchat. Think about dating, disrupted by Tinder, disrupted by Happn. It's constant change. So the skills that I need today may not be the skills that I need 2 years from now. So the model of just matching people is just not going to work. What you need to look for in people is their potential to adapt, step up, and be able to perform in a bigger, more complex job down the road. The problem is you don't know what that role looks like because it's down the road. So you have to hire on potential. A good example is Angela, who used to be the CEO of Burberry, right? Fashion, being able to move over to technology with Apple. I mean, that's potential. So, if there's one slide I'm going to leave you with, it's going to be this slide, which is what is potential, right? I'm giving you my jewels here, my entire firm's IP in about 30 seconds. He wants it bad. Okay, first one's curiosity. The number one thing you should look for in executives is curiosity. When you think about your own kids at home and how they always ask the right questions, right or wrong, they're always curious, they've got that sparkle in their eye, they're always looking for change. That is curiosity. That should never change, whether you're 5 years old or 80 years old, doesn't matter. You have to be curious and open, always be open for new opportunities. But it's not just external, right? The best leaders I've worked with are the most humble ones. I mean, I was with one yesterday, big IPO, the guy made 100 million, right? He comes to me and he says, Kareem, what are things I can do better? What are people saying about me? He's still hungry to become better at what he does. That is development, right? He's self-awareness. So look for that. The second one is insight, the ability to really connect dots. If you think about big data today, it's just a mess of information. You can do whatever you want with it, but can you really come up with the right insights and connect the dots? So the ability to really take a lot of information, connect the dots, and see really the noise from the signal from the noise. The third one is engagement. That's really around the ability to engage people both on logic, but also emotional. It's really getting people to buy into your vision. And the last one's around determination. I spoke to loads of startups this morning when I was walking around. I mean, the stories of people completely crashing, picking back up, not getting the right investment round, share price crashing. It's about that resilience that you want in someone that's going to be absolutely killer instinct to keep going. Those are the four things. So when you actually look at someone and try to evaluate them, right, in an interview, first thing is, be aligned with all your stakeholders. You know, I want your board, your management team, and yourself to all be very clear on what the business objective is. Are we trying to grow, maintain, whatever it is? You've got to have alignment. Once you have that, then you actually interview someone, right? Focus a bit on their past record. That's super important. Readiness is, are they ready for the next role? That's kind of what we all do today, and I bet you 80% of you do that today. The trick is this potential bit. Really ask the questions. And you can just ask a question around one example, how they did something, but really dig after curiosity and determination. Figure out if they have the potential. That's the most important part. And I always say, you know, when I look at a CV, it's probably 20% of my judgment. And I look at the experience, education, whether they're jumpy or not. That's the first bit, right? And then I have my own judgment, right? My gut feel, which is 40 to 50% when I interview someone. But the other 20, 30% is referencing. Don't underestimate the power of referencing. People have blind spots at peer level, right? Because you're your normal self. With your boss or with your direct reports, you're going to be actually better behaved, right? So take those references. That really helps round out the judgment. So now that we've got someone, great. We've got a match, right? They're going to come to the company. Job done. This is where a lot of people fail as well. We hire some of the most and brightest people into our company, but then we don't spend enough time really nurturing them in their development. I'm not mean development by, I've seen this a lot in some of the early stage internet companies, right? You promote people very quickly. You start as an analyst, and next thing you know, you're the CPO or the CTO or the chief advisor within 2 years. Man, that's impossible. How can you grow that fast? So help people grow by being successful, by giving them the right assignments. I don't really care about promotion. I want to see the potential in people. And autonomy, you know? The most important thing for a lot of really high potential people is they have autonomy to make decisions and to feel like they have the freedom to kind of grow and do what they want. And if I look at some of the founders in this room, I would challenge you and say, do you really give up some of that control? Can you really empower your team? If I look at some of the VCs, do you really like your CEOs have a bit more freedom to run the business? So that balance between control and autonomy is going to be critical. And don't be afraid to make the tough decisions. People always ask me, I've got a great team, but there's a couple of people I'm not sure about. The potential's not there. Make the change, because it's going to bite you 2 years down the road. And the people that you want, people are going for today in terms of picking them up for potential. So make the tough call. Be flexible. Change your organization as you develop and scale, right? And adapt. So that's really it. In summary, talent is going to be tougher to get. Don't just look at competencies, but also look at the potential in people. And this is not just fluffy stuff. You can really use potential to improve your chances of getting a great team. Thank you very much. Under 10 minutes. Under 10 minutes.
Huh? Thank you. Well, thank you very much. They know how to please these recruiting people.